Good evening, Sharks fans. The Sharks lose what can only be described as a heartbreaker tonight, 6-5 in overtime against the Boston Bruins. Tonight on Teal Town After Dark, Teal Town USA After Dark, excuse me, we break down this game, break down exactly what went on, because it was kind of a back and forth affair, and, you know, just break it down and kind of get some ideas on what's going on here with the Sharks and letting up a five spot against the Bruins, and, you know, break down the reffing, you know, and I don't want to make too fine a point on this, but it was not great tonight. Not great. And the Sharks, you know, did not come out so great either. They came out a little flat footed against the Bruins, and the Bruins took full advantage over that and was able to mount enough offense to win it in overtime. So if you want to be a part of the show, give me one second while I queue up the graphics here, because apparently I'm off my game too. If you want to be a part of the show, please use that hashtag TealTownUSA, or get us on the Facebook chat, Facebook comments, the YouTube chat, Twitter DMs, Twitter itself, Instagram, SoundCloud, you name it, we'll find you. And again, follow us on TealTownUSA on Twitter. So I am joined by Al Martinet. Al, how are you doing this evening? Quick thoughts on the game overall before we do the deep dive.
I thought it was a great game for Jumbo Joe Thornton. Long time that you got a hat trick, especially against the Boston Bruins, who we obviously got a great trade from long time ago. You know, I it's either going to be one of those games where you look back and say, hey, Boston definitely did outplay the Sharks in a lot of areas in the first period, or you kind of just throw this game out and you just kind of forget about it. Time will tell what this game kind of shapes up to be, what the season kind of shapes up to be. I think it's going to be what the Sharks next game is going to kind of look up to be. I'm just kind of curious, like, it seemed like the Sharks did kind of get slow right off the game. Like, they just didn't wake up to the game, or they just were flat-footed. Boston did control most of the first period. And in that first period, the Sharks were, like, looked extremely old. And that was a very, very telling sign that this is might be the way you play against the Sharks.
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, it was maybe less of what Boston was doing and more about, you know, more about the Sharks just not being there ready for the start of the game. You know, because going through that second period, from about halfway through the second period on, they were completely dominant. I mean, they were dominating Boston all over the ice. You know what? Honestly, I really feel like, I feel like Jones, if the Sharks were to win tonight, it would have been in spite of Jones. And I've been having a little bit of Twitter back and forth with Andy, man. And, you know, Andy is saying, you know, he doesn't really see the issues there being on Jones. But boy, I tell you what, those first three goals did not like the way he was squaring up to the shooter.
I can't blame the first period on Jones just because of how sloppy the entire defensive core was playing. And if you're getting no hope from your D line, then obviously the shots were 8-3 in the first period for Boston. And at one point there were 7 straight shots for Boston. There was no offensive flow. You know, I'm just wondering, like, you know, Erik Karlsson, second game back from injury, he's still finding his legs. You know, I'm just evaluating the decor, and it's not one of our strong points this season. It's the forward depth. It's the three lines we have. It's not the decor, which is a surprising tale.
You know, I tend to agree with you halfway. I guess for me, the decor is definitely more offensive this year. They're making more risks, more gambles, which is creating a lot of offense. I mean, this team is scoring at a great rate. I mean, it, you know, we scored five goals tonight, and that had been an issue with the Sharks last year where they were almost too defensive. But that being said, the defensive core for the Sharks on the defensive end is not great. And teeing up perfectly, thank you, Al, for that perfect segue. We go into the first period. Torrey Krug, sixth goal on the year. Krejci and Bergeron with the assists there. And, I mean, look, you got Krejci, you got Bergeron, you got Krug all on the power play. That's going to be tough. That's going to be really tough. However, you know, the Sharks had done on that first power play that Boston got, had done an awesome job. They were fronting the puck very well, standing up on the blue line, just getting that puck way into the offensive zone, onto Boston's offensive zone, and just keeping it there and eating it. I mean, Kane and Hurdle in particular on that PK shift, and I think that was the second PK shift for that first power play for the Bruins, they just ate that puck down there, and it was just, you know, it was textbook penalty killing. Second penalty kill, not so much.
Do you look at that as fatigue, though, with back-to-back high-sticking penalties and no offensive flow, no one's attacking the puck, no one's giving Rask any issues?
I definitely can understand where the idea of maybe having a little bit of fatigue there, because you take back-to-back penalties, and I'm going over right now and I'm looking at this goal, and boy, this is what I was talking about with Jones. I'm looking at this. Jones is not making, you know, he's not making enough of an attempt to push the Boston player out of his crease. He plays shallow and he plays small. And it's a consistent issue with his game this year where he shrinks. You know, he's a fairly big guy. I mean, he's 6'2", 6'3", and he's shrinking like a violet to the puck. And I've seen it multiple times this year where he's ducking on higher, you know, higher shots. There's something going on between the ears for Jones, because he is just not doing great with those, with honestly topside shots, blocker or glove. But tonight it was being taken advantage of the blocker side. Laurel, thank you so much for the donation for the rooster trick that could have been. I appreciate that, and it'll definitely go to the Let's Buy Eric Kura internet jar.
I don't have any problems with the first three goals that Jones let in, just because I just don't think there was enough relief that the defense and even offense were relying for him. The one goal I do have an issue with is the stick check or the poke check he was trying to do in the third period. And we'll get to that in a minute, but that one, I was just, what are you doing?
A mental lapse in his game. The second shot where it's the Chara shot, we'll go over that right now.
If you can even see it, because it was still in TV timeout.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you lose a face-off there. Zdeno Chara just pounds it to the net. Corrali gets the assist there. Corrali, of course, a Sharks prospect. Second rounder, I can't remember. But he was one of the players going over to Boston for the Martin Jones trade. Jerry, thank you so much for the tip. Really appreciate it for what really was a Sharks win. We totally agree with you. But Zdeno Chara pumps it to the net. It went fast. I agree with that. I think that Jones could have gotten set just a microsecond quicker, but that's really nitpicking. I will agree with you on this one, Al. I don't think that this one was on Jones. But again, shrinking in the net, it's really consistent on those first three goals. I don't think he was very good fundamentally tonight. What were you going to say, Al?
I see him more. The issue is that they're attacking the blocker, and those are the, like, two out of the three goals were on the blocker side. And I think Jones still has a good glove hand. And when people are attacking his blocker, I think he gets tentative. And that's when you start to not see him as a good goaltender. You start to see him as a B-tier goaltender, not the one we saw in 2015, 2016.
Yeah, and I think that that's really, we're seeing a lot of that right now on Jones. He's getting beat blocker side consistently, blocker side high, and that's the book on him right now. It really is. And you know, on the third goal, it's Carson Kuhlman for his first NHL goal, surprise, surprise, from Jake DeBrusque and David Krejci. Jake DeBrusque with his 9th assist, Krejci with his 37th assist. That makes it a 3-0 Boston lead.
Well, good for you.
But the old man wonder, the ageist wonder that is Joe Thornton, pots a goal with 3 seconds left in the first period. It's his 11th goal. Pavelski with his 22nd assist. And you know what? Joe Thornton quietly putting together a nice little season here. He's got, he's creating points. He's unfortunately a giveaway machine, but I think at this point of his career, that's kind of where he's at. I feel like the hands are slipping just a tad, but tonight, you know, really great on the forecheck. I noticed him quite a bit on the forecheck and distributing that puck on the half wall, kind of vintage Joe Thornton. What'd you see on that last goal, Al?
You know, he has points in the last 6 games. He's obviously had his legs returned to him. This is probably one of his best games in the last 2+ years. You know, we're not really just used to him scoring, which was kind of funny to see him put 3 in the net. A shame it's not 4. You can look up the Deadspin article that greatly describes that fourth goal excitement. You know, it's really, he's skating pretty well. I don't really have much of an issue with the turnovers. I am surprised though he is skating in overtime. That just still baffles me. Like, why does he get on 3-3?
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, Al, on his skating. I don't think it's, you know, he was never a quick skater to begin with, but you know, tonight was on display against the Bruins. You know, that's a quick team, and you put Joe out there, and boy, you know, he was dogging it a little bit. He played well 5-on-5. I really liked his game 5-on-5, and I liked his game on the power play as well. But yeah, 3-on-3, that's a lot to ask for Jumbo. But going into that second period.
Wait. What'd you think of the Vlasic no goal, or the push, or the Boston no goal in the first period?
That's actually a really great point I wanted to bring up too. And thanks for reminding me about that. The Sharks prevent Mark Edward Vlasic prevents a goal from going in that first period. And it looks like, especially from the overhead and the goaltending cam, it was really from the goalie cam, though, you saw the puck look like it went all the way through. However, I want to really stress this for a lot of viewers who are watching this on TV. I mean, all of us are watching it on TV, you know, if you went to the game. But you know, besides those who went to the game. However, one thing that John Shannon from Sportsnet really likes to put out there is that even though it looks like there's visible white on the other side of the puck, you've got to remember that the red line is actually 1 to 1.5 inches below ice. And of course, water or ice will distort any kind of lines that you see. So even though you do see some white behind the puck, and Al, thank you so much for teeing that up, you also have to realize that there is, like I said, about 1 to 2 inches worth of ice that's going to distort the line. So you can see already, I mean, the line is kind of fuzzy, and that's because of the snow buildup, of course, but you've also got to
like know about right there is that little white that people keep on talking about. But if you're a Boston fan, you think it's in. If you're a Sharks fan, you think it's on the red line. It's really close, but I think it's in, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and like a tiger. Oh, like a tiger. Gotcha. Nice. Got to be a top-down frame to prevent the distortion. Yeah, and you can see right now, even though the goal cam is really good, it's still at just a tiny bit of a cockeyed angle, and that's going to distort a little bit. And you know what? It was ruled no goal on the ice. And again, it's kind of like football where they have to have definitive proof to overturn a call that was put on the ice. That would be called no goal. And then, you know, like I said, well, it goes kind of through the rest of the first period where Boston gets that 3-1 score going into the second. But in the second period, Joe Pavelski scores his 32nd goal on just this fluky bounce that goes off Chara. Pavelski just kind of at the right place at the right time to kind of tip it in. It kind of hits off Chara, goes in, and, you know, the Sharks have breathed some new life into their game. However, the Bruins come back 4 minutes later. Jake DeBrusk with his 18th goal. Jake DeBrusk, just a great find for Boston. That's Louis DeBrusk's kid, and Louis DeBrusk is a Canadian broadcaster who also played. But yeah, that's his son, and his son is quietly putting together another good season. Then Joe Thornton with his 12th goal of the season from Sorensen and Simic, that makes it 4-3. Then we get another power play. The Sharks get into some more penalty troubles. However, Logan Couture in on a breakaway. Looks like he might have scored. However, they're saying that it was not a goal. It kind of basically trickled on the line again, a similar story to what we saw with that Vlasic save. But they award Logan the penalty shot on the PK. Logan is 0-for-1 in his career when he takes that. Goes in five-hole beach ball style on Tuukka Rask. Al, why don't you break down that goal and just how Logan just makes such a great read on that five-hole?
I think he saw in the first shot, and then he just went on the same tactic, slower, and just went in a long-range shot. And as soon as Tuukka Rask opened up his five-hole, he just went for it. And I know how that sounds, but... you know, that's the playbook for Rask, and it's always been that way for the past couple of years. Five-hole, long way. He's also pretty small for a goaltender, so you can screen him. You know, I think Logan's kind of been – it's been a good season for him, but I think I would like to see him just do more on the goal-scoring front. It just seems like he's been silent. I don't know if he's one of the 20 goal scorers on the team, which is – shocking considering that I just think he's been MIA for a couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, I think Logan is slowly starting to kind of heat back up again. Timo, you know, as well, is starting to heat back up again, and so is Pavelski. You know, those three figured really prominently in the scoring tonight. The Sharks tie it up on what, I mean, a miraculous comeback, you know, with that shorthanded penalty shot goal. And yeah, mark that one down, ladies and gentlemen, because those don't come around quite all that often. So,
yep.
Going into the third period, and before we kind of break down the third period, I also want to get your take on kind of a little bit of a contentious issue that we've been seeing in Twitter, but the ice. Al, what is going on with the ice at SAP?
Well, there's back-to-backs. I think the two of the last three games at the SAP Center, ice condition hasn't been great, but I don't think it's for to give the Sharks' performance in the first periods, back-to-back starts against Washington, against Boston. The teams haven't gotten off to great starts. So if the ice was in perfect condition, I still think Boston, that's just not a good excuse.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have said it often so many times here, but both teams play on the same ice. You know, I posted on Twitter that, look, both teams play on the same ice. That is true. But the ice does not forgive Martin Jones' positioning tonight. And
see, Martin Jones' trademark is he slides off the TV net, so you don't even see him sliding. He just keeps on sliding away from you. Like, at least for certain goaltenders, you at least have a shot when he slides, but...
Yeah. Laurel, thank you for again, another donation. Laurel's always kind of been there from day one, and we really appreciate her. She's also our favorite mod in the chat. But going into that third period, the Sharks tied it up. It's going to be a fast and furious race to the end. It's all Sharks in that first 10 minutes. Joe Thornton capitalizes for his third goal. We are officially on Rooster Trick Watch, ladies and gentlemen. At 13:32 of the third, the Sharks take an improbable lead, 4-5. Sharks look like they're in great shape. You know, they've got the puck. You know, they're possessing the hell out of it. They've got it. And, you know, a minute and 49 seconds, Chris Wagner, like, just a heartbreaker of a goal. And I think this is where we start to begin the tension with the refs. Now, the refs tonight, I think, called a decent game up until the second period. Then it was missing a cheap shot by Zdeno Chara on Pavelski. You know, you take a 6'9" fist with, you know, that's the size of a freaking, I don't know, baseball bat.
You know, I'm kind of glad Pavelski didn't fight Chara, because I'm pretty sure he would have been out for the season.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Chara is just a beast of a man. And you know what? That guy is also an ageless wonder, too. But, you know, that was kind of not called. There were a few different trips, and I don't know if maybe the refs were giving the ice the benefit of the doubt, but you know, Timo was tripped up once in that first period. And honestly, I mean, it was just, he had the puck in the offensive zone, was tripped, didn't even bother to call it. I mean, it was right in front of the ref's face. They were kind of out to lunch on that one. But going into that third period, we go to the elephant in the room, and let this speak for itself there, people. Al, great with the graphics. And that's Wagner batting that effer with at least a foot and a half above the crossbar.
So I saw in the chat that high sticking is not reviewable.
That is correct.
So it wouldn't surprise me if this happens again and again, and especially if this happens in the playoffs, that rule probably gets changed or modified next season. But it seems like the players are working around that rule this season, dumping it down onto the ice and then shooting it in.
Yeah. And this is where I think that the refs called this a good goal. And I think it's because at the follow through of this, and unfortunately you don't have it up on this GIF. However, Wagner does make an attempt to put that puck in when it is flat on the ground. Now, the question then becomes, had the puck already crossed the goal line before he makes the attempt below the bar? And if you wanted to really break that one down, it was going to be close. Now, that is very true. You cannot review this. It's not reviewable or challengeable. You know, you can't ask for this to be reviewed. However, most, if not all, of the high touch goals that we've seen, Toronto does look at it. And for whatever reason, there was not the call down like there had been on the Vlasic pull through and the Logan Couture almost breakaway goal. There was not a review on this. And I think the tactic that Peter DeBoer was trying to impose was he was trying to stall that puck drop as much as he could, argue, you know, begging and pleading basically for Toronto to take a look at this, and nothing. Did not come down to it. And
I don't think it went in after the high stick. I think it brought it down into the middle ice, and then from this angle it does, but yeah.
And so, you know, the Sharks give up that backbreaker of a goal. I mean, and we go into overtime. However, I did want to say before the game ended, the Sharks were pretty valiant in their efforts to get the goal back. I mean, they almost scored with 10, 15 seconds left, and it was really good to see them not shy away and really continue to press play on that, you know, in that third period, even with the minute and 49 seconds remaining. However, we do go into overtime. Overtime is pretty much pure Sharks dominance. I mean, they're going back and forth. They're keeping possession of the puck, and you know, they've got possession of the puck. They go down. Evander Kane comes into the it kind of runs into the back of the net. It was a reverse hit where he gets kind of pushed into the net, dislodges the net, and the Bruins take the puck going the other way. The Bruins have at least 15 to 20 seconds of game time in the offensive zone. And I do not understand for the life of me what the ref or the linesman was doing there and why he was not putting that goal back on its post while play was carried into the offensive zone. Normally we see that happen if the possession is kept a while in the opposing team's offensive zone. They will put that goal back on the posts if it's possible.
The only reasonable expectation or reasonable is that it's 3-3, and so you're going to have more back and forth on both zones. And so maybe you don't take it off, maybe you don't stop play, but you're supposed to stop play as soon as the net is off. And that is just a weird occurrence for something like that to happen.
So the rule is the play can continue if the team whose net it's off is in possession of the puck. I believe somebody floated the rule on there, and the play would be deemed dead once the attacking team, or I guess it would be the attacking team who's got repossession of the puck, they blow it down immediately.
Yeah.
However, what is normal protocol, like I had said before, is if there is sustained pressure in the zone by the team whose net is dislodged, the ref and or linesman will put that goal back on its pegs, or at least that's what they're supposed to do. Instead, they track the play down into the Sharks zone. Once the Sharks reestablish possession, then they blow it down. But again, I don't understand, you know, you have 15 to 20 seconds of offensive zone time and they're not doing their jobs.
Yeah, it's bad optics, but, you know, in overtime, the speed of the game is much, much faster. And I just don't understand why they would just blow it dead. Maybe there's different rules that we don't know. Maybe it's just you call the game different in overtime, but you're absolutely right. There was definitely a lot of play for Boston, enough time where they could have brought one of the four referees down to Rask and put the net on. And Rask, I thought a couple of times today, you know, intentionally slid into the net, stopped somewhat. I feel like there should have been one or two penalties for the Sharks, because it looked like he was sliding into the net just to stop the play.
And I totally agree. And that is something that Tuukka Rask is known to do. You know, he does whatever he can to make a save, whether or not that's to push the goal off the net. You know, Logan even chuckled with him after he did that,
you know, and they kind of batted each other, you know, kind of like, okay, I see what you did there. It was kind of a wily veteran move there, but yeah. And unfortunately, the Sharks lose possession on kind of a fluky play where Evander Kane, is trying to corral the puck again. Unfortunately, I mean, Krejci is just, you know, awesome at stripping the puck. He gets the puck. You know, I think it's DeBrusk, excuse me. DeBrusk gets it to Krejci. Krejci pulls up at the last second, right on the blue line, the Sharks' defensive blue line, and throws it back out to Charlie McAvoy, who's the trailer. That's a goal, and that's the game. And you know, we talked about it, about the reffing not being great, the officiating not being great. You know, I have my problem is more about the fact of how lazy they were with not getting that goal back on its moorings, especially because it was going to be a 2-on-0.
3-on-0, potentially.
Yeah, potentially. And they can't get off their asses to put the goal back on its posts, on the moorings. And yeah, I mean, that's what the game came down to. And again, where's Toronto? Where are they coming up with not reviewing that high touch? You know, I'd be interested to see if maybe they, you know, maybe they did take a look at it and saw what you saw, Al, where he was able to get the puck back on the ice and hit it below the goal line.
Yeah. And I definitely think that's the players are learning how to bend the rules a little bit. I don't understand why, like, even if you know it's high sticking, you should blow the play dead right there. Like, that's common sense. That's almost like having 2 feet in the end zone. Boom, touchdown.
Yeah, but, and especially because it's so close to the goal. And you know, the continual hue and cry that the rule is because it's a safety issue. This is not an issue because there's not enough skill to do it. This is purely a safety issue where they don't want guys with sticks swinging it around people's heads, and especially in the goal crease. And you're absolutely right. As soon as that puck hit that player's stick that high, it should have been called dead. But unfortunately, the refs are just, you know, like I said, just were out to lunch on that one. And Toronto, who could have made up for it, nowhere to be seen.
So today there were 3 high-sticking calls against the Sharks, 1 high-sticking call that led to a goal, and there had to be something else. But, you know, 1 or 2 calls go the other way. I think it's the Sharks' win, but it's going to be very interesting how this game shapes up down the line, how teams face off, because the first period was very worrisome in terms of Boston outplayed us 90% of the time. And I think that's a good template for the Sharks at this moment.
Well, I think 90% of that first period I'll give you, but in the second and the third, especially the second half of the second and all of the third period, it was all Sharks, and they came back. You know, give them full marks for coming back, and Joe Thornton, you know, doing a yeoman's effort with 3 goals tonight. You know, and just ends the night with the hat trick. It was really good to see, you know, see him do so well. And you know, we kind of go from there. I just want to say thank you to everybody who's tuning in. I know that we've got some Boston Bruin fans in the chat tonight. Really appreciate you guys coming out, guys or girls, coming out and you know, mingling with us. You know, we try to be as unbiased, especially with the reffing, because I know that that's something that is kind of seen, you know, as very homerish, and we really try not to do that. But you know, tonight I think it was just really evident that it was just not great. But if you are new to the show, please hit the subscribe button. You know, we try to bring Sharks content,
weekly. I mean, we have it weekly with the Pucknologists, but after every game, we're here doing Sharks breakdowns. And yeah, we've got a ton of content up on the website as well, tealtownusa.com. So check that out as well. Al, let's put a bow on this game tonight. The Sharks lose it 6-5 in overtime. Just kind of overall thoughts on the game and what do you want to see coming out into the next game?
You know, overall thoughts, I thought the Sharks played pretty well against Boston's top two lines, but it was the third and fourth lines that were Boston was giving us trouble. So I'm wondering if depth is going to be an issue. Maybe we upgrade trade deadline, but you know, a trade deadline, the Sharks don't really have much room in terms of what to offer. Second round draft pick, cap, but then you're talking about Timo Pavelski, those guys. I maybe that's an issue that we might have to look at in terms of strength, in terms of just creating more offensive capability on those lines, speed wise. And I know Joe Thornton's on third line, so that might be something that just you can't solve.
So we'll go over the stats tonight. Joe Pavelski with 3 points, a goal, and 2 assists. Joel Thornton, of course, with the hat trick. Marcus Sorensen with an assist. Logan Couture with a goal and an assist. And Justin Braun's getting an assist tonight. Radim Šimek assist and Burns an assist. The Sharks get some pretty balanced scoring. The big black eye, Martin Jones, saves 14 of 20 shots for 700 save percentage. Not good. Not good enough at all in the least.
C's get degrees, right?
Oh my God. Yeah. That would be a straight C at UCSD, ladies and gentlemen. The Sharks do log 38 shots on goal tonight, which is awesome. Great for them, above their season average. Their shots for the Bruins was 20. The Sharks really did a nice job suppressing the shots. However, the high danger chances kind of creeping back into the game again. Face off 52% for the Sharks. Bruins go 2-for-4 on their power play. However, they do give up a, I guess that would be a shorthanded goal. They give one up. The Sharks go 1-for-2 on the power play tonight, 24 apiece in the hits department. Sharks with 8 giveaways, Bruins with 11. Sharks with 6 giveaways, or 10 giveaways, 6 for the Bruins. Blocks is 8 for the Sharks, 11 for the Bruins. So defensively, the Bruins were a little bit better puck management-wise. However, the giveaways for the Sharks were just atrocious. 10 giveaways tonight. And, it was just really indicative of the sloppy play in that first period. So, that being said, I think it is time to do your favorite and my favorite segment of the night. The NHL reach around. I mean, wrap around. I mean, reach around.
It's whatever you want it to be.
Well, we go ahead and we wrap it around the league. The Coyotes lose to the Flames 5-2. Flames regain first place in the division and first place overall in the Western Conference with a 5-2 victory over the Coyotes. The Lightning are just in another stratosphere now with 94 points with a 5-1 win against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Blackhawks beat the Senators in what can be described as offensively furious 8-7 tonight. The Blackhawks, I mean, hanging on by the skin of their teeth. However, it doesn't do them any favors with the Avalanche beating the Golden Knights 3-0. However, that does help pad our second place or first place finish, depending on where exactly we end up.
Yeah, but Chicago's 8-2 though, last 10 games.
Yep, Chicago is definitely doing as much as they can to make it. The Sharks, again, fall in overtime 5-6. Capitals beat the Kings 3-2. And it looks like the lower depths of the NHL belong squarely to the LA Kings. And nothing really warms my heart greater than that.
3 points up, the Ducks.
Right? I think Ottawa actually carries the last place, but only by 3 points. But the LA Kings are definitely last in the Western Conference. And you know, kind of breaking down where we're exactly where we're at now at the end of tonight's game in the division, the Sharks hold down third overall in the NHL with 78 points in the Western Conference, second only to Calgary, who is up 1 point above us in the standings. However, they do have a game in hand. Vegas, third place with 68 points. We've got a full 10 points over them with a game in hand. So I don't think Vegas will be catching up anytime soon. Winnipeg would be the only other team who could, you know, really put up a fight in that central division for the Western Conference crown. And
I like the spot Vegas is at, though. They're just going to make the playoffs. They're going to be in the top three in the Pacific, and they're going to be able to rest people. And I think the Sharks are going to probably burn out more people going for the top two seeds than it might hurt us in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and that's going to be the thing that Peter DeBoer is really going to have to juggle is, do you want to expend the energy for first place? I totally think that you do. And the reason why is you don't want to let up any time near the playoffs. So you got to have something to play for. And being in a dead heat with Calgary, I think, is the best thing for their game.
My God, please be honest. You just do not want to see Calgary or Vegas in the first round.
Well, that too. I mean, because that's going to be a slugfest beyond belief. You know, just beyond any, you know, doubt, you know, and let those two go after each other for a round. AJ, were you at the game tonight? And if so, what were your thoughts just overall?
Oh, yes, I was at the game and I am pissed off.
How long until you get to your place?
About 90 seconds.
But, all right.
No, I'm upset. And if you can hold on for like 3 minutes, I'll tell you why I'm upset with decent audio.
Okay. All right. So we'll vamp for another 3 minutes while AJ kind of gets set up there. But again, we'll kind of run down the Western Conference really quick. That's the only conference we really care about here. Sorry, Bruins fans, but the East doesn't really count. Not for
just
us.
Just the Metropolitan. We don't care about any other teams in the East.
Right. Winnipeg leads the Central Division with 76 points. Nashville with 73 points. And Winnipeg actually has two games in hand, believe it or not, over Nashville. So Nashville, I think, is going to be locked into that second place. St. Louis making a late charge, now up to third place in the Central Division. And you know, St. Louis is really kind of coming into their own now and being the team that we thought that they could be. Over into the Pacific, like we said before, Calgary occupying top spot with 79 points. 1 point behind is San Jose, but Calgary does have a game in hand. Vegas pulling up third with 68 points. In the wild card, it is hot potato or keep away or musical chairs, whatever game of mediocrity you want to play, with Minnesota holding on to the last wild card spot with 60 points. Dallas firmly entrenched in the first place in the wild card with 63 points, with a game in hand on everybody coming up behind them, even two games in hand on Chicago and Vancouver.
It's about time, because I thought that team would be a threat.
Right. I mean, I think Dallas, we're just waiting for Ben and Sagan to explode. I know Bishop has been doing some good work there this season. And you know, Dallas is going to be, I don't know if they're going to make some noise, but they're definitely not a quick out either. And, you know, I think it would really behoove the Sharks to try and get that first place in the Pacific and first place overall to draw Minnesota. You know, because,
oh yeah,
you know, one of Minnesota, Colorado, Vancouver, Chicago would be just a dream first round for the Sharks. Really, you know, those are all kind of on the lighter side teams. Minnesota, not so much, but Colorado, Chicago, and Vancouver,
not playing too particular a heavy style. So it would be a good first round draw for them over in the Eastern Conference. Because I guess, you know, they're part of the NHL too. So we have to talk about it, even though, you know, it's really no race because Tampa Bay is, oh my God, 94 points, a clear, oh, I don't know. Let me do some math here. What is it?
Where was it at?
16 points above Boston. 16 points. Just give them the trophy. Just give them the President's Trophy. You know, let them have it, you know, with their 94 points. Boston with 78 points. Toronto slipping to third place with 75 points. However, they do have two games in hand, so they could be up to 79 with two wins and with their two games in hand.
But do you know that the Islanders have a better rank or better, more points than Toronto?
Yeah. The New York Islanders, which have, you know, just been, I guess, the talk, overachievement, if you want to call it that, or just surprise hit out in the Metropolitan, leading their division with 76 points. And they have two games in hand on Washington, who was, you know, in second place, really kind of vying for first. But they've got two games in hand on them, and they could be have a full 80 points. That would be seven in front of Washington. And you know what? New York is going to be a really tough out. And you give major league kudos to Barry Trotz for doing such an outstanding job on the defensive side of the puck there. You know, both Halak and your favorite ex-Shark and mine, Thomas Greiss, you know, both putting up such a great season. You know, one of those two could easily be a Vezina winner. Definitely going to far and away win the Jennings Trophy for lowest goals against and amongst the two. But yeah, the Jennings definitely going to be going to New York. Like I said before, Washington in second place, Columbus in third place, Columbus with 69 points. However, they do have two games in hand on Washington. Pittsburgh leading the first wild card and Montreal with the second wild card, both with identical 31-21-7 records, both have 69 points each. However, Pittsburgh does win in the, wait for it, grab your cups, row wins with 30 row wins to Montreal's 29. However, Carolina, can they make a push? They have 68 points.
Those jerks.
Yes, those jerks. So AJ has finally graced us with his presence. AJ, why don't you go ahead and run down what you saw and what you thought tonight?
I'm sorry. Did you just throw it to me?
I just threw it to you.
Okay, sorry. I was dialing in the audio settings. So what do you want to know?
Basically, what?
Why object, I'm pissed off?
Yeah, well, or that, and what object would you like to throw at a ref? Go.
How much time do we have? Do we have an hour? Yeah. Do we have three? Do we have time for an after dark?
Yeah, pretty much. No. Coming into this game, honestly, it's just kind of like, hey, Jones got through the first 5 minutes and he didn't give up a goal. So, hey, let's put that in the checkbox for, okay, doing what you should do. And then all of a sudden it was 3-0 and you kind of go, okay, it's going to be one of those. But I'm going to give the Sharks credit for coming back. Hello. They did have the lead in this game at one point. Unfortunately, not able to sustain that. Goes to overtime. And I got to be honest with you, the overtime, just everything leading, like the last couple minutes of the third and then overtime, I don't know, honestly, what the refs were looking at. The net comes off the mooring and the play is all the way down at the other end, and there's an official 5-foot away who doesn't like walk over, skate over, whatever, and just like put the ring back on. I don't know why that doesn't happen. I think I thought that was complete bullshit, to be honest. And then you have the goal that's touched with a high stick. It was a high stick. They showed it like 20 different times at the tank. When the puck went off the guy's stick, it was above the crossbar. That's a high stick. That's no goal. But for some reason tonight, it was a goal. Okay.
No, sure. And AJ, you bring up the exact point that we had on there was, you know, the play should be blown dead with the high stick. I don't know if they were looking at maybe the player touching the puck once it came back down. But then the question would be, you would still have to review that to see if the puck crossed the line prior to re-tapping it in below the goalpost. And why wasn't that?
Oh, wouldn't that have been nice had they done that?
Right, right. And so our question is, where the hell's Toronto on that? Because yes, it's not reviewable by the on ice crew, but Toronto can certainly review that play.
I think they did. But all the views that we've seen, it doesn't look like it went in.
I don't know. It's to me, this is one of those games where I look at it and I just go, you know, this is one of those ones that you jot down in the record books and you sit there and you go, you know what? The officials, they had a hand in this one tonight, guys.
Yeah.
You know, the Sharks gave Boston a 3-goal lead. They were able to fight back and tie it up and then get the lead. And then you see that ridiculousness of the goal coming in off the high stick. Okay, you can sit there and debate that all day long. The thing that you cannot debate from this game is the fact that the goal comes off the mooring and it just sits there off the mooring while play is happening on the other side. We've seen a bajillion hockey games where somebody snaps their twig or the netting comes off the mooring, but play is happening 200 feet away. So the official down low at that point will grab the broken twig. He'll put the net back on and boom, game on, you know, no harm, no foul. But for some reason tonight, the official did not, for some reason, feel the urge to put the net back on the mooring, even though everything was happening 200 feet away. And then when the Sharks score, all of a sudden, oh no, we're gonna wave it off because the goal, because the netting was off. I'm sorry. I mean, honestly, you can't say home cooking because it happened at SAP. But you look at that and you just go, what the hell, man? Like, how do you let the net stay off the mooring for that long? Like, if it was gonna be off for more, like, it's one of those things where it's like you might as well just count in your head 1, 2, 3, like count to 5 seconds. And if the goalie doesn't come over, because I've seen NHL games like that where play happens at the other side after it comes out, and the goalie will reach over and put it back on. The fact that the goalie didn't do it and the official didn't do it, who's like 7 feet away, meanwhile, there's like 10, 12, 15 seconds of play happening at the other end. Get the fuck out of here. I'm sorry. I got to call it what it is, man. That is some bullshit right there. There was no reason for the officials to not go over there, pop that thing back and let it, and you know, and game on.
Yeah, no. And we've seen it time and time again where the refs do that. And, you know, the other thing that really irritates me is there wasn't any kind of urgency to put that back on. And there should have been, because it's 3-on-3. You know, yep, how crazy it is 3-on-3. You know that there could be 2-on-0s, 3-on-0s. There could be any sorts of thing happening with this topsy-turvy 3-on-3. And the Sharks were going to have a 2-on-0 break with Kane and I think it was Kane and Hurdle going to be alone, you know, dueling it out with Rask. They didn't put the post back.
What the hell is Andy Man saying in the chat right now? The net was sitting on the hole and the mooring was not securing that side of the net. That's why it was blown dead. What do you mean it was blown dead?
I don't remember that.
I was going to say, dude, the shit should have been like, if the official looks over and he's not going to skate over there and put the net back on the mooring, then blow it dead right then and there. I don't care where the play is happening, because if, you know, if you're not going to skate over there and do something about it and keep the game going, then blow the shit dead. You know, well, the fact that the Sharks played for like another 15 seconds in the opposite end while this net is just hanging off the mooring and the official's like 8 feet away from it. The hell out of here, man.
That and AJ, I think the rule states, and this is what the rule states, because somebody put it in the chat.
Oh, look at you with you and your highfalutin rules.
Well, but hear me out. If the team that has the net dislodged has possession of the puck will, the play will continue. And the play does continue because the Bruins hold possession through their defensive zone, through the neutral zone, and into the Sharks zone. And like we've pressed it home time and time again, at least 12 to 30 seconds where they could have placed the goal back on its pegs, back on the moorings, back into the hole, and do nothing. And you know what's even more frustrating is that the referee who's behind the Bruins goal has to look at the goal while he's skating towards the Shark zone to watch the far side blue line. So he's got to pass it. It's not like he doesn't see the thing off the post. You know, it's not like, oh, we could forgive him because he didn't see it. No, it's clearly dislodged and he clearly doesn't want to put it back on. Yeah. And I think I think pretty much all of Shark fandom, that's what we're most pissed off about. And I think if you want to boil the game, right. Yeah, if you want to boil the game down to that, I wouldn't blame you.
But you know what the fun thing about this is? The Sharks face the Bruins in, like, I don't know what, 10 days in Boston. So hopefully the Sharks are able to get a scotch of redemption like the Capitals were able to do last Thursday after that, you know, bizarre, crazy 7-6 loss in DC. So hopefully the Sharks make up for it. But the fact of the matter is, right now, as it stands, Calgary has, you know, they've got a foot up, and the Sharks only see them one more time this season. And by the time the Sharks and the Flames face each other, it could very much be fait accompli, although the strength of schedule for both teams is very much right down the middle. So the Sharks, this is the time, kids, you know, you take advantage of the ones you're supposed to win on paper. You have to win. Now, tonight was a great litmus test. The fact that the Sharks, Boston's been on an incredible streak, you know, winning five straight, like won like eight of their last nine. I mean, they've been on a great streak. They're climbing in the standings. The fact that the Sharks were able to spot them three goals and come back and actually take the lead at one point, you know, I'm gonna take a little bit of a moral victory in that. But let's, you know, hey, kids, you know, you got less than a month and a half. Take advantage of your spots and, you know, beat the teams you're supposed to beat on paper, and let's go. And I will show this to everybody because they're back. Hey now, warm up pucks. They're back, and they're so pretty. Oh, so pretty.
Nice, AJ. All right. Well, I think that's gonna be it for us here tonight. So we're gonna do that customary catch us everywhere graphic. Let me put that up there right now. And here,
and before it, he's finding that graphic. Oh, okay.
There it
he
is.
Found the graphic. I was going to put up another fun graphic.
All right. Let's quickly pan over to AJ. This is all-star territory. Quite nice.
Put up a fun graphic.
That
you don't see that very often.
No, you do not. And that's awesome. And I love that. And, I hope you got two of those.
You hope I get like 10 of those.
So, like we said before, catch us everywhere. First off, people, if you're not checking out TealTownUSA.com, shame on you.
Then you're an asshole.
Yes.
What is wrong with you? You must be a Kings fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh!
Al, virtual high five there. So check us out on TealTownUSA.com for some great written articles. Of course, we put up all of the content that we bring to you here on YouTube on the website as well. Or use your favorite podcatcher that includes iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn. And of course, you can always use the good old YouTube and rewatch us because, you know, you want to see our ugly mugs all the time. And yeah, we appreciate the subscribership. We're well over 1,000 subscribers. I think we're at 1,170 something. So thank you so much. We really appreciate everybody always chiming in on the chat, stopping by to take a look at us. Even if you're not a Sharks fan, we really appreciate it. And Al, I'll give you the floor for where the people can find you and your last thoughts on the upcoming game.
Thoughts. Sharks still got a point. Down 3 goals, still got a point. That's pretty good. I think Boston is one of the 5 teams that you could say are a Stanley Cup contender. So I thought they played pretty well. It's going to be interesting what Jones looks like a week from now when we see Boston again. I'm not too worried about Jones. I still think he's the goaltender that's either going to take us to the Stanley Cup or another first round exit. It's either going to be one of those highs or lows.
It's either we flame out in the first or ride it all the way.
Honestly, right now, I think that's Jones at the moment.
AJ, where can the people find you? And
dude, I would tell everybody, but I'm so blinded by the optimism behind Alex right now.
it's all real.
Yeah, it's real and it's spectacular. AJ _ Strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram, also throwing some stuff on your favorite follow on Instagram, TealTownUSA. Go check that out. New Pucknologist dropped last night and early this morning, so go kick that out. Am I agitated enough by tonight's game to go after dark? I might be. And the only way you're going to find out if that happens is if you follow us on the Twitter at TealTownUSA. So,
or you hit the subscribe button. Because you
subscribe as
notifications.
Yes. Also, oh my God. I'm looking at the chat right now. There's a lot of requests for AJ to go after dark. I'm just saying it could happen.
Al, where can the people find you on the Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at Al Martinet. Free to talk hockey, free to talk anything there. So Twitter at Al Martinet.
All right. And you can find me, Eric Landy, using my first name. That's Eric with a K, last name Landi, on all of the social media garbages. And for everybody here at TealTownUSA.com, thank you so much for stopping by. Catch us the next time after the Sharks' next game. And we'll be live, like always, post-gaming it. So for everybody here, keeping it teal and keeping it real teal.